This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Inflation. The cost of living is so-called in England. Catherine Mann of the Monetary Policy Committee of the Bank of England says that the Bank of England, the B of E, should front-load hikes to combat inflation. And then we go to the ECB, the European Central Bank, from Frankfurt. Mired in a two-front war against surging inflation and slowing growth, the European Central Bank may have to reassign its troops. Central banks are embarrassed, goes the comment from an economist at EFG. Central banks are embarrassed by having gotten inflation wrong. I think most of us did, and now want to show how committed we are by raising rates. And then we have the White House responding. The White House is worried extremely about inflation. The Biden administration reportedly considering lifting Trump-era tariffs on Chinese goods that help tame U.S. could help tame U.S. inflation. I welcome my inflation watcher, Veronique Duregie of the Mercatus Center, who has just returned from the Middle East, where they have inflation, although Veronique tells me it's modest comparison to ours, and asking what is to be done because her most recent filing at Creator Syndicate indicates that the White House is once again interested in Build Back Better, spending in the face of inflation. Veronique, the last time we talked about spending, you said cutting inflation, cutting spending will help inflation. The White House did not listen. Are any of these remedies, the Bank of England front-loading rate hikes, European Central Bank front-loading rate hikes, and Mr. Powell and the White House cutting tariffs, are any of these things going to answer? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, if history and economics tells us anything, is that front-loading the rate hikes are probably a good idea. But again, as I've said, what you need to do alongside the rate hikes is cutting spending, because that's one of the problem that we had in the 70s. And there was a column in the Wall Street Journal last week by John Cochrane at Hoover that actually reminded us about the 70s. And what they used to do is they would raise rates, inflation would go down a little bit, and then it would just keep going until they did both the hike in the rate and do fiscal adjustment in the form both of spending cuts and tax increase. You need to soak all that money out of the economy. So if the Bank of England is also promoting fiscal responsibility on the side, that's the way to go. Europe has a different problem. Europe has a supply shock problem. And there, it's not very clear that the central bank, I mean, can't really do anything for this. But one thing is sure is everything that our president wants to do is probably not going to work. I mean, lifting tariffs, I'm all in favor of this. He should have done this when he got into power. That would have actually helped with the supply issues. But, you know.
You report that John Cochrane reminds us of the great inflation. This is in 1970-74. The quote, in 1970 and 74, the Fed raised interest rates more promptly and more sharply than now, from 4% to 9% in 70 and from 3.5% to 13 in 74. Each rise produced a bruising recession. Each reduced inflation. Each time inflation roared back. This is what will happen if the Biden administration fails to implement austerity or, worse, if it uses fears of an upcoming recession as an excuse to increase spending and the debt further. Isn't that what's exactly happening? Hasn't John Cochrane of Hoover Institution looked into his crystal ball and just told us what is about to happen in 2023?
Yes. And by the way, John Cochrane was one of the people who all along said, guys, this is not transitory. Guys, this is not just spending constraints. Guy, this is demand driven. We're going to get inflation. I mean, he's a guy who was actually looking at it. And he was correct. Yeah, and it's been my fear all along, because the problem with raising rates, I mean, your listeners must be tired of hearing me repeating it, is it, I mean, it is the way to go, but it is going to slow down the economy. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. I mean, the hope is that you slow it not too much to create a big recession, but you slow it down. The problem is like you're slowing it down and you're raising those rates. If you're successful, along with getting some slowdown in the economy in cutting inflation, what ends up happening is that people feel their real wealth is actually growing as a result because inflation is less, right? It's like if you're a saver, your money is going to go further tomorrow than you were expecting it to go because there's less inflation, right? And people who are paid with interest rates are going to actually get a more income coming in. And the risk of this, if you don't soak up money through increase in taxes or reduction in spending, is that this wealth effect just fuels furthermore the demand. So the Biden administration, they're going to look at this recession. They're not going to think about all these arguments about the wealth effect and blah, 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 and our experience in the past. And they're going to say, oh, well, this is an opportunity to send more payments to people to try to push more of the money we couldn't push through Build Back Better. And that is going to add more fuel to our inflation fire.
The Atlanta Fed that has a predictor app that I recommend to everybody, Economy Now, you can put it on your iPhone and watch, now projects that the labor report, which comes in these next hours, Friday morning, will report a gain of 390,000 jobs from mid-May to mid-June. The jobs picture does not look at all like the recessions of the 1970s.
No.
Is that a strength or a weakness for the central banks that we're not experiencing high unemployment?
I think the good news, it seemed that we are not yet in a phase where expectations are unanchored and you've got a spiral of prices going up and wages going up. It looks like we're not in this yet. There's still a relatively strong labor market. And so I think, who knows what's going to happen? But I think we're certainly not in the worst. But again, it's at the beginning of the 70s, right? It didn't have to go where it ended up going. It's all policies. And it looks like the probability of repeating the mistakes of the past is higher than it ever was. And in big part is because everything I'm hearing coming out from the White House is echoing this. It's like a lot of things that we know is not going to be a good thing. Spending more money right now, it would be a terrible idea.
Europe is in trouble. Germany's in trouble. They have trouble in Britain. They have trouble in France after the parliamentary elections. Do they have a different a future than we do here in the United States because of their long reluctance to raise rates?
Well, so the bulk of their inflation is due to the war in Ukraine and the war in the Russian invasion of Ukraine, right? It's mostly energy and food prices. They have some inflation triggered by the same problem that we've had here, but it's much smaller than we do. The demand-driven inflation is much smaller in Europe. The problem there is like, look at what these governments are doing. At first they were saying, well, we're going to be more lax on using oil. Maybe we're going to restart our nuclear program. We were going to like go. And now what are they doing? The French just announced they're going to nationalize their energy.
Right.
Company.
We have 30 seconds, Veronique. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so they're taking a lot of idiotic steps too, and I really worry that because their economy is going to slow down, they're going to go back to accommodation and spending, and then they would get the same kind of inflation that we have.
Back to the future. Will it be the 1970s in the year 2023? Veronique Tirishi of the Mercatus Center, just back from the Middle East. I'm John Bashley.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.